God, He's still on the throne.
That's right.
Amen. And prayer changes me. Amen. It may not change the things that I'm going through. It may not change a lot of stuff in this world. But you know, if I'm praying for somebody, it may not change that person. But you know, it's going to change my attitude about
that
person.
Right. Amen. Praise the Lord.
And that's something we need to look forward to, is the power of prayer. What the power of prayer not to do to somebody else, but what's that power of prayer going to do to me?
Right.
Amen. I need to change. I can't change the world. You know, all I can do is pray for it. And Jesus didn't tell us to change the world. He told us to love people who are in the world, to love the lost, to give our heart, to seek the Father first and foremost, and to love folks like we love ourselves. Amen.
Amen.
And if we could do those things, we've completed the fullness of the law. The only problem is you cannot do that without an indwelling of the Holy Spirit. You must have the Holy Spirit. As you know, we've been talking about that for the last several weeks, the preparing for the latter rain. I know this in the deepest part of my heart, that there's going to come a new pouring out of the Holy Spirit like there was in the first pouring out of the Holy Spirit. But the church has got to be prepared to collect that rain.
Amen.
If there's a hole in your bucket, it's time to fix it. Amen?
Yeah.
Because God's going to pour it out. He's going to pour it out. Joel talked about it. In the latter time, there's going to come a pouring out, a new, fresh filling of the Holy Ghost. Amen? And I believe that's going to happen. There's going to be folks coming to the Lord that you thought would never get saved.
That's right.
Amen? And there's going to be folks who think that they're saved and realize they ain't. They're going to come back to Christ. There's going to be a repentance that's going to be poured out. And what He needs more than anything else on this planet is a people group called the church.
Amen.
Not thinking highly of themselves, but to be humble before the Lord, that are willing vessels to contain this pouring, not to contain it, stop you, Lord, because you ain't containing it, you're pouring it back out. You're going to be a conduit, amen?
Yes.
God's going to put it in you, and you conduit.
Yes.
You put it out to somebody else. You need to take what God has given you and water the world, amen?
Amen.
Conduit, like I said that. Amen. But to do that, we got to get rid of some of the garbage.
That's right.
You know, it's hard to go with God and stay where you're at. Especially if you're living in something that is false doctrine. If you've been living and listening to the teachings of man and not to the teachings of the Holy Spirit, you've been listening to Dr. So-and-so or Dr. So, that person he studied, this person he studied, but when the Bible tells you something, that's what counts.
Amen.
When Jesus says something, or Yeshua, amen? When Yeshua says something, that's the thing that matters.
That's right.
Amen? When the Holy Spirit gives you direction, that's where you need to go. Do not listen to me, especially if I'm not speaking from the Word. Amen. If I'm telling you something that doesn't line up with Scripture, you got two tests for that. You got the Holy Spirit that lives in you, and you got the Bible itself.
That's right.
And you use those two. And if I'm speaking what is speaking, then follow that. But if I get off chasing a rabbit, y'all know me. I've known to chase a couple of rabbits, right, as the sermon progresses. Last week we talked about from Hebrews chapter 12, the things that we need to endure. Jesus endured the cross. He bore the shame and He sat down at the right hand of God. We need to consider Him that endured such contradiction of sinners against Himself, lest ye be wearied and faint in your minds. See, unless we really get a good understanding of who we are in Christ, when these storms come, you're not going to be able to stand. Folks, I'm telling you, the storm is coming. Because along with the pouring out of the Holy Spirit, there's going to come a rushing in of a tide of evilness that we have not seen as of yet. Jesus talks about it. The Scriptures, the Old Testament speaks about it. It is a day of great reckoning. It's a terrible day, a hard day. But God, amen? But God, I love those. Y'all have heard me say it 1,000 times. I'll say it 1,000 more. My two favorite words in all of the Scripture is "but God."
Amen.
Things look certain way, but God gets involved and it changes.
Right.
Amen. You think you've lost, but God has a victory for you.
Absolutely.
You think that something's going one way, but God has a different plan. And He's God. And if we allow Him to, He will give us direction where we need to go. Right? He gives us direction into what we need to follow. And He says that you have not, verse 3 in Hebrews chapter 12. For consider Him that endured such contradiction of sinners against Himself, lest you be wearied and faint in your minds. Ye have not yet resisted unto blood.
Right.
It's going to get worse. We haven't gone there yet. But when you come up to that threshold, when that day comes, and you're born again, you're converted, God will give you the power at the moment.
That's right.
Amen? It's not going to happen a moment before, and it's not going to happen a second less. When you need it, it will be there.
Amen.
He will fill your tank immediately when you need your tank to be full.
Yes.
Filled? Filled. As full as you want. Filled? I don't know. When you need it, it's handy.
Thanks.
Amen? And so we can expect... Or when we expect or anticipate, I misspelled anticipate because I didn't use any silent letters. Anyhow, anticipate something happening. We need to make adjustments in our life. So let me ask you this. Are you anticipating the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ? Are you anticipating the end time scenario? What adjustments are you making? Amen? Because you need to be prepared, because when the storm comes, like a hurricane coming on shore, then you know it's coming. Well, that means it's time to batten down the hatches. You need to go to the hardware store. You need to get some plywood, cover up your windows. You need to put some sandbags around your house, whatever it takes. Because no matter what you do, the storm's going to come. And if you ain't prepared, it'll wipe you out.
Amen.
Amen. There's a storm coming. All right, there's a storm coming. We need to be prepared.
Yeah.
Jesus talked about two men that build houses close to each other. One built on the shifting sand. Amen. When the storm came, it beat against mighty against the house and it fell. But there's his neighbor took him a little bit longer to build, but he dug deep. Church, we need to start doing that.
Amen.
We need to start digging deep.
Yes.
We need to start going into the Word of God and seeing what God really says about a situation. We need to be looking to the written Word of God. We need to be looking to His instruction and digging deep and finding that cornerstone of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
And setting your foundation.
Amen.
There. Because all other things are going to burn. All other things are going to fall. And great will be that fall. But those who are founded on the rock of Jesus Christ, those who are there, they're going to make it through. And as this latter rain happens, as it comes, you need to be prepared for that. Because if not, it'll rush over you and you won't have any part of it. There are those dead fish that float downstream. Any dead fish can go downstream, right? It takes a live fish to fight against the current.
Amen?
Amen? Jesus had some instruction for his disciples in Acts chapter 1 and verse 4, the latter part of that. He says, "Wait for the promise of the Father, which you have heard of me." All right? Now, understand what he's saying here. Jesus was about ready to be ascended up into heaven. Right? And he says, "Listen, y'all guys, you need to go back to Jerusalem and you need to wait there."
Amen.
You need to wait.
Amen.
Because sometimes we get ahead of ourselves.
Mm-hmm.
Amen?
Mm-hmm.
Have you ever got the cart in front of the horse? Right? You know? It's hard to get anything pulled when the horse is behind. You know?
Right.
But if that horse is hooked up just right to that cart, it can pull it to where it needs to go. Often we get our will in front of God's will.
That's right.
All right. Often we get our mindset, what I think ought to happen.
Mm-hmm.
And we get my will all messed up. And God says, "All right, you have a free will. You want to do it that way? You can do it that way, but you're not going to get far."
Amen.
That happens with people. It happens with me. I ain't talking about you guys. It happens with me all the time. Often I get too many things, too many pots in the fire, and everything burns. Right? Slow down a little bit. Wait on the Lord.
Amen.
Now, when they were waiting, this does not mean sitting on your couch and eating bonbons, watching Miami Vice or whatever. It's been a long time since I watched that box. Right? I don't know, watching whatever it is you like to watch. Days of Our Lives or Please Take My Wife, whatever it's called. Instead of doing that, the waiting on the Lord has some particular work. They were together in that spot and they were praying. They were anticipating. They replaced the one disciple that died. Right? Guy starts with B.
Barnabas.
What's that?
Matthias.
They replaced Judas.
They replaced Judas, yeah. And so I know who they replaced. I just didn't know who they replaced him with. If I would have opened my Bible, I would have found it. Again, open your Bibles. Amen? And that way y'all can help me as we go through this. And in Acts, he tells us those things. When he told them to go and wait, they were obedient. In fact, while they were still just waiting as Jesus was raised up, and two men in shining garments came and stood beside him and said, "Hey, dudes, what you looking at? Didn't he tell you to go do something?" Well, there all the disciples are. "Oh, dude, look at that. Yeah, that's so cool." Angels come before him and says, "Hey, do what Jesus said to do.
Hey,
what are you standing here for? Why aren't you getting ready?" Now, they didn't know it'd be another 10 days before the promise came, but they had something to do. They were told to gather together as the church and go to a spot. And when they got to that spot, it wasn't sit down and watch football games, right? They weren't sitting there and playing with their yodels, right? They weren't sitting there as a little Jewish toy that you spin around. Dweedles, dreidels, dreidels. I'm not a Jew. And not in a bad way. I don't know what they played. But they weren't playing games. They weren't goofing off. They were praying. They were seeking the Lord. They were waiting on the promise. Then it came. Guess when it came? Exactly on time when it was supposed to come.
Amen.
When Pentecost was full. When it was done. When the next thing was supposed to happen. All right, this pouring of the Spirit will be like that of the old time. But what we need to understand is we need to be in the place so when the Holy Spirit is poured out, we're in a spot that we can receive it. We need to be in one accord. We need to be in one belief system. We need to be in one understanding of God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Ghost. Amen. We need to understand that the Scriptures were written for our edification, that we would know these things when they're going to happen. And he tells us that in the latter days there will be a fresh pouring out of the Spirit. So when that Spirit came, what did they all start doing? They all got up off their pews and they went home, right? That's what we do. But is that what we're supposed to do? No. We're supposed to take what the Holy Spirit has given us and go and proclaim it to a lost and dying generation. That's what they did, right? When the Holy Spirit came, they all started speaking in new tongues. I ain't saying that you're going to start speaking in Portuguese or nothing like that, or Southern. That's how I speak. Y'all, humans. But you'll be speaking in a language that is edifying the Lord Jesus Christ.
That's right.
And I'm not saying that the tongues won't happen again. That's not what I'm saying. What I'm saying is when you need to do something, the power to do that will be there.
Amen.
All right? And all you have to be is in the right heart set, not the right mindset, the right heart set. You need to be focused on the Word of God and preparing yourselves for the pouring out of the Spirit. You need to be in prayer. You need to be in fasting. You need to be in the Word of God and preparing your lips to say what the Holy Spirit will give you power to say.
Right?
Right? And when you speak, always speak the oracles of God.
Amen.
Right? If any man has anything to say, speak what God tells him to say. Just speak the word with truth, with love, with compassion. In 4 and 14, it says it this way. Excuse me. 4 and 14. These all continued with one accord in prayer and supplication. Woohoo! What were they doing? They were in one accord. And we ain't talking about a Honda. Amen? They were all with one mindset. They all had one thing in common.
Yes.
They were all desiring to see the fulfillment of the promise happening. They were all in prayer. They were all seeking the Lord with the fullness of their heart. They were desiring to do the things that God was having them to do or wanting them to do. Sorry, I said that was Acts chapter 4. That's a misprint on mine. It's Acts chapter 1, verse 4, part B. Right? So, it was written down here right. I said it incorrectly. So, I don't know if y'all have ever done that before. But if you do, just keep going. Don't stop. And so in these things, in the upper room, they returned to Jerusalem, to the place, to the mount, and they returned unto Jerusalem from a mount that is called Olivet, which is from Jerusalem, a Sabbath day journey. And they, when they were come in, they went into the upper room, and there abode Peter and James and John and Andrew and Philip and Thomas and Bartholomew and Matthew and James, the son of Alphaeus, and Simon the Zealots, and Judas, the brother of James. And all these continued in one accord in prayer and supplication with the women. Praise God! Amen. With the women. They brought the, in our Bible study, you know, I truly believe if you have the Holy Spirit, you got something to say. I don't care about your gender too much. I care about the infilling of the Holy Spirit. Now, I know that Paul said later that women ought to remain silent in church. And in a thing like this, but in Bible study and searching the scriptures, what you have to say is just as important what as anybody else has to say,
Amen.
Long as you are in the Word of God saying it.
Amen.
Right? And I don't care if you're male or female, if you start speaking things that are outside the Word of God, we'll gently correct you
in
that, right? And get you back on the line, okay? Or in the line. But these were all together. They had all one thing in common. They all continued it with one accord, prayers and supplication. Mary, the mother of Jesus, and his brothers. Amen? And they were doing the things that they were told to do, praying with each other in supplication. Later in chapter 2, the church, this is after Pentecost had happened, and the Holy Spirit had come down. They spoke the things that they needed to. In chapter 2, when Pentecost was fully come, amen. There's something to be said that when Pentecost was fully come, they were all with one accord in one place. Again, they were all with one mindset.
Amen.
To be in one focus. Amen. The body of Christ with one focus. The heart of God. One Father, one Spirit, one baptism.
Amen.
One calling in which you're called. Keeping that oneness is super important if we're going to be able to be used in the last time for the receiving and the pouring out of the Holy Spirit,
Amen.
The grace of God.
Right.
Amen. It's having that oneness.
Yeah.
And we don't always have to agree with each other in each other, but we have to agree with what the Holy Spirit is doing in each other.
Right.
Amen. I need to love you. I don't always have to agree with you, but I always have to love you. I always, as long as we're working together in the spirit of love and compassion, God will be able to work through us. It's when we get this idea that I know stuff and you don't know stuff, or you know stuff and I don't know stuff, that stifles and slows down the power of God.
Amen.
We have to be in this unit, this body. Think about it this, if you had in your body, part of your body wanting to do its own thing, right? Well, I'm wanting to walk, but I got this leg, it wants to shake like this. Well, I can't go nowhere if my leg's doing that all the time. Well, my leg's doing what it wants to do. Wait a second, your leg's part of the body. Tell your brain to make your leg stop it, right? And do, get in line.
Amen.
We have the Holy Spirit in us, and he's calling us to be of one accord.
Yes.
You know, there shouldn't be this weird doctrines coming out of the church.
No.
Weird belief systems. If there's one God, one Spirit, there's one way to go.
Amen.
And that way is through Christ Jesus. Amen. Amen. Yeshua, the Messiah. All right? That's who we're supposed to go through. As you notice, I'm trying to fix my language. Amen. I've been calling his name Jesus ever since I was that tall. Amen. But you're right. His name isn't Jesus. His name is Yeshua. Right? So, anyhow, he's God. Okay? Follow him. Do what he says. Make your adjustments to what the Word of God says. Keeping in unity. Remember, Ephesians 4:4 says that there's one body, there's one Spirit, even as you are called in one hope of your calling. Verse 5 says there's one Lord, one faith, one baptism, and one God and the Father of all, who is above all and through all and in you all. Amen?
Amen.
All right, so in that oneness, we need to keep the unity, that togetherness to accomplish God's will.
Yes.
Now, God chooses to use people.
That's right.
I don't know why he chooses to use us. I really don't. I would find better vessels. You know, really and truly. Because all of us have sinned and come short of the glory of God. But God says, I want to use you. Why? Because you're imperfect. I want to use you because you got a special crack in you. I want to use you, you know. You're not perfect in everything, but what God wants to use you in, you'll be perfect in that. Because God's sending his Holy Spirit to keep us in unity with each other.
Amen.
He's sending his Holy Spirit to fix those things that are broken. And where I'm weak, you're strong. And when we're together, that weak spot gets patched up. It gets fixed. That's why we come together as a body of Christ to be usable.
Amen.
To be obedient to the Spirit. To be obedient to the Father. Amen. Verse 7 says, but everyone is given grace according to the measure of the gift of God. Amen. Mm-hmm. We are all given grace for the accomplishing of what God wants out of us. He supplies your needs.
Amen.
He supplies what
Amen.
You need. Amen. In Acts chapter 5, something else that the early church did is something that we're going to do today. Woohoo! We eat together! Amen! I tell you, there's something about seeing sausage, you know, gravy dripping on somebody's mouth together. Yep, that's real family right there. It says in verse 5 and 42, daily in the temple and in every house, they cease not to teach and to preach Jesus Christ. Now look at what they did daily in the temple and in every house. They stayed together and they taught Jesus Christ. They only spoke what the Bible said, the things that Jesus taught them. Remember the Holy Ghost, the Comforter, what he was supposed to come do? Jesus said, I'm going to go away, and if I go away, I'm going to send the Comforter. And when he comes, he's going to teach you all truth. And he's going to remind you all things that I have said. These people, they stayed together in the temple. They stayed together in one body. They didn't fragment off.
Amen.
Do you know that there are no Rambo Christians?
Yes.
I'm dropped in behind the hub, behind the enemy's line, by myself, and I'm going to fight them all. Bang, bang, bang. No, you're not. If you're doing that, you're doing things outside of what the Bible says. Even Jesus, when he sent his disciples to teach, he two by twos. You go two by twos. You go together with somebody. You don't go by yourself. The reason you go, because I need to be held accountable. I don't know about you guys.
Yeah.
Y'all probably can do it. I can't. Because I know my weaknesses. And I need somebody to be beside me to keep me in the straight and narrow.
Amen.
Now, I have the Holy Spirit, you know, but you know what? I don't always obey. I'm sure I'm not like you. I'm sure y'all always obey what the Spirit of God tells you. But me and my flesh, I have a problem.
Right.
It's called me. It's sin. It's the I in the middle of sin. It's my heart, my desire. See, but what I need to do is stay in the body.
Amen.
You know, when I'm in the body and I start going wrong, you know what I got? Use guys.
Amen.
I got y'all. And if I start teaching something wrong, one of you, I know you will, because this happened more than one time.
correct you.
Amen. Are you sure this is what the Bible said? You didn't quite have the right scripture reference there, like earlier today. That happens. So anyhow, we have each other, and we're called to walk in unity with each other. And they come together for prayer. They broke bread together. Do you know how important that is?
Yeah.
That they stayed under the apostles' doctrine. And they did the things that Jesus, Yeshua, told them to do. I'm getting better, right? I'm kissing myself.
Really hard.
It really is, because I've done this my whole life. I don't know how... You know, but you're absolutely right. They did what Messiah had told them to do.
Yeah.
They taught the way. And Yeshua said this. He made this a point. He said that we must love the Lord with all of our strength, all
Amen.
Of our mind, all of our souls. Everything that's in us, love God. All right? And then love your neighbors.
That's right.
That means when my neighbor is in need, I give myself to that need. What is that need? Well, if you need bread, then I'm supposed. If I got bread, I give you bread. If I don't got bread, I go find bread and I bring bread to you. If you need clothing, I give you clothing. And that's what the body of Christ was supposed to do. And they loved. The world saw what was happening. Now remember, the world was in turmoil. And there's crazy things that were happening. Just like in today, there are crazy things happening all over the place. And the poor people, they needed stuff. They needed clothes. They needed food. They needed shelter. And you know where they found it? In the body of Christ.
Amen.
There was no social services there. You couldn't call Obama to get an Obama phone. Right? You couldn't do that. There weren't any governmental helps. So when you needed something, where did you go? You went to the church. You went to the body of Christ. And you know what we would do? We would love you in the middle of that mess. We would tell you about the truth of Jesus Christ. And they knew you were Christian by your love one for another. In the pouring out of the Holy Spirit, the things that are going to... Listen, people, we haven't seen food lines in America, but they're coming.
Yeah.
All right? You haven't seen the lack of anything in America, but the lack is coming. Yeah. We have lackeys, okay, in charge by the grace of God. And I'm not going to say anything bad about them, because this is what God said would happen. That there is going to be a lack of food. He talks about it in the horsemen. That he's going to come and you're going to be selling barley. And you're going to be selling, and it's going to be, or you'll plant grain. You won't receive back as much as what you put in. You're going to put it out and you're only going to receive a portion of what you put in. It's not, the earth is not going to supply like it used to. That's going to happen in the latter days. We're going to see that more and more. I don't know if y'all noticed it, but in Texas there was a freeze not long ago. Guess where the most of your beef comes from?
Yeah.
It comes from Texas. Guess what happened to all those cows? They froze to death and starved to death.
Oh, they did not.
Most of them did, yeah.
Oh,
no, yes.
I have a cattle women's website. But babies died. Cows
okay.
did die, but...
All right. A lot of... Well, are they not cows? They're bovine, right? Whether they're big or small.
The cows didn't die, but some of the babies, yeah. when they were giving birth, because of those
troubles. Okay. Cows died. Chickens died. Right? Where you get your food, where they weren't able to plant. The things that were in the ground froze.
Yeah.
All right? This is just a small sector. All right? There's a lot of things that are going to happen in the world that it's just going to work that way. It's going to be harder and harder to find food.
Amen.
It's going to be harder and harder to find gas. I don't know if y'all noticed it or not, but just in the last 30 days, gas has done what? It's almost $1.
Yeah.
$1 more than what it was.
Yeah.
Right? Do you think that's the end of it or that's the beginning of it? That's the beginning of it.
Mm-hmm.
Things are going to be harder and harder. It's going to be harder to go. It's going to be harder to buy, sell, and trade. It's going to be harder to do things. So what do you need? You need a body. Right? That's why we're called to be in one accord.
Amen.
All right? And there's things that are happening. There are things that have happened. And it's not just in America, folks. This is worldwide.
Yeah.
It's worldwide. The famines that are going on around the world, the droughts that are going on around the world. It's not just America.
Right.
America's just a speck when you look at the whole of the world.
Mm-hmm.
This thing that just hit over a year ago. Remember, we're going to flatten the curve in 14 days. Okay. Year later... We're still, I guess it's a really wide curve. We're still there. Nothing really has changed. It's going to be harder and harder and harder. So we need to remain in the body of Christ, in the temple, and in every house. They cease not to teach and to preach Jesus Christ. That we need to keep teaching the Word of God.
Amen.
We need to keep loving people in the middle of the mess. We need to keep supplying the needs. James says, if a brother or sister come to you naked and destitute of food, and you say, oh, I'll pray for you. Bless your heart. But you don't tend to that need, your religion is worthless. Your relationship. People will look at you and say, that's Christianity?
Yeah.
I don't want nothing of that. But when they come to you, they're naked and destitute of food, and you give them what you have. Say, listen, all I got is a pot of beans and a little fire right here. You want to sit by the fire and eat some of my beans? Come on, sit down. And you know what they see there? They see love. They see provision.
Mm-hmm.
And the church in the latter times, that's what we're going to have to be.
Amen.
It's no longer going to be these singular things, houses out apart from each other. We're going to have to start coming together more and more,
Amen.
Meeting the need of the individual, strengthening each other as we see the... Do not forsake the assembly as you see the day approaching, right?
Amen.
We need to be coming together, not separating, not
Amen.
Breaking off.
Amen.
Now, I have nothing wrong with home churches. I really don't. But that's, remember, they hung out in the temple and from house to house.
Right?
Right? They came to a central gathering place. And you know why they came to gather at a central place? That way I could know your need, you could know my need. We could pray for one another. We could tend to each other's needs. We could help each other in the midst of our lack.
Yes.
See, I may only have one pot of beans, but somebody else got a pork chop.
Right.
All right. You know, I only got eggs, and somebody else has something else. They got asparagus growing. I don't know. There's these things that are out there. And so you take a little bit of your pot, and you take a little bit of your pot, and you take a little bit of your pot, and we'll put it all together in one pot, and you know what we'll have? Enough.
Amen.
Amen? And not only will we have enough, we'll have an excess. Excess. We'll have more than enough.
Yeah.
All right? And when you have more than enough, you know what you do? You give that away. You find somebody who's in need of it, and you give it to that person. You love people in the middle of their distress.
Amen.
And you know what that's going to do? That's going to get people stopped depending on the government, because the government cannot help you.
Right.
Right? The government can't help you. Where are you going to get your help from? The body of Christ.
Amen.
That's how it was designed. That's how God designed things. And in the latter pouring out of the Spirit of God, that's something that we must come back to that point.
Yes.
And again, in 12:12 it says, and he came to Mary's, the mother of John's, whose surname is Mark, and many were gathered together there praying. This is after Peter was arrested. This is Acts chapter 12. So catch this. A member of the church is arrested. Guess what he's arrested for?
Preaching.
Amen. So what's going to happen in the latter? If this is what happened at the first pouring out of the Spirit, what's going to happen at the second pouring out? There's going to be a persecution of those who teach the Word of God. All right? And guess what? Pastors who are preaching the unadulterated Word of God, we're going to be the enemies of the state.
Right.
We're not going, there will cancel culture? What's it? Cancel culture. Yeah, they're going to try to cancel us. They're going to say, you're speaking hate speech because you say that there's two genders. Period. That's hate speech. You say that marriage is between one man, one woman for life. Ooh, that's hate speech. You say that a parent has the right to raise his own children? Oh, that's hate speech. You can't do that. And guess what? They're going to come for folks who preach that. Guess what? I got a target right on my chest. Amen? Because I'm going to keep preaching that.
Amen.
I'm going to keep preaching Jesus Christ. They're going to say it's hate speech where Jesus said, I'm the way, the truth, the life, and nobody goes to the Father. The world is going to hate that, and you're going to be considered a hater.
Amen.
And they're going to try to wipe you out. It's okay. You know what I'll need at that time? I'll need you guys. I'll need you praying somewhere.
Amen.
I'll need you praying, seeking the Lord, lifting my name before God, me lifting your name before God. And you know what? It may be like at Peter's time. And you come and kick me in the ribs. Get up! Get dressed! And go back to the temple and preach. Amen.
Amen. Bless God.
Go back to the temple and preach. How about that? But the body, when Peter was arrested in Acts chapter 12, the church was at Mary's house, and they all came to Mary, the mother of John, whose surname was Mark, John Mark, and they were gathered together praying. All right? They were gathered together praying. And in Philippi, when Paul preached, all right, and while the church, they broke bread until midnight. I can't call this name, guys, this fellow's name. Euthychus. Who's his name? Euthychus. He's a fellow who fell out of a window. Yeah, anyhow, he was up there and he fell out of a third-story window. You think I preach long? So, Paul, what was the church doing at the early church time? What were they doing as the fresh new spirit was entering people's lives and touching people? What were the people of Christ doing? They were staying together. They were huddled up. But they weren't just huddled up in a little eggshell. They were huddled up and then they would go out.
Amen.
Right? So you'd come together for a need. You come together to pray. You come together to fast. You come together to break bread from house to house. You come together and you share the love of God. And the lost world would see what was happening in the church, and it made them long for what you have. Amen?
Amen.
That's going to happen again. All right, it's going to happen again. Right now, in America especially, we don't have a lot of that happening. Everybody has two cars in their garage and two garages on their house. And, you know, they got all the things that this world can supply. I'm looking around. I don't see none of us starving. In fact, I don't think none of us are even hungry, to be honest with you.
Yeah, true.
And all of us got really decent clothes on. Nobody has holes in their jeans unless you're buying them that way. It's just foolish, in my thought, but anyhow.
I'll give you an amen on that.
And so, in that, America, we're fat. We are fat. I'm not talking about obese kind of fat. We have more than what we need.
Yeah, sure.
Absolutely. But those days are coming to an end. I don't know if y'all have looked at Venezuela lately, but they were very much like America. It's like a Cosmo part, a little speck. Venezuela, they were very rich Latino group in South America. Probably the richest in South America. But they hired a man for their president, very much like Biden is our president. And he allowed these communistic ideals to take place. And within 2 years' time, Venezuela was lining up for food. They didn't have it anymore. Don't think that won't happen to America.
That's right.
God said to Israel, when I bring you into the promised land, and I give you houses that you didn't build, I give you farms you didn't plant, I give you cattle you didn't raise, you're going to forget me. And when you forget me, I'm going to kick you out of the land.
Amen. That's right.
America has forgotten God. We have raised up a generation that knows not God.
Amen.
So what's the church supposed to do? This is the end times. These are the things that are supposed to happen. Jesus, Paul talked about a great falling away. We're seeing the start of the landslide. Okay, we're seeing it beginning. There's less and less and less people who really believe what the Bible says. More and more people are given over to doctrines of demons.
Right.
Blab it and grab it. Yeah. You know? The Lord wants me to be rich. You know? God doesn't want you to be rich. If you are rich, He wants you to give it away. Right? It's not for you. It's for somebody else. It's for His glory. And our greatest hour is the awakening of the truth. It's going to get rough, folks. It really is. But that's when the church shines its brightest.
Amen.
Amen? When we don't have and we still love. When we're giving away more than we're receiving. When we're meeting people's needs in exponential ways. That's where Christ really shows. That's where the love of the church will start shining. Once we get away from these religious preachers, preachers talking things that are not God's word, preachers that are just puffing themselves up. When the church starts, let me put it this way, when the church stops gathering preachers with itching ears, because that's how it's read, the church gathered preachers with itching ears. It's not that preachers had itching ears. The church wanted a preacher that wouldn't say anything that would hurt their feelings.
Right.
What do you mean I got to give away what I got? I don't want to hear that. I don't want to hear if I sin I'm going to die and go to hell.
Yeah.
Right? Nobody wants to hear that. No. Or do we? We need to hear that.
Amen.
Right? Because if we don't hear that, if you go to a doctor and you got cancer, do you want the doctor to say, oh, don't worry about it, man. It's okay. Take two aspirin. Call me in next month. You know, don't wait. It'll pass. Don't worry about it. Or do you want that doctor to sit you down and say, listen, this is life-threatening. We're going to have to do some pretty drastic things. We've got to cut something off of you that you might live. Would you rather the doctor say that? Or even something simpler, you go to the doctor, you got a broken arm. Right, doctor? Oh, don't worry about that. It'll heal. Or do you want that doctor to grab your arm and snatch it until it pops back into place? It's going to hurt. Your nose is going to run. You're going to have tears. You're going to say, owie. Right? But I would rather him grab that arm and pop it back into joint than me have a whole hand that's all twisted up for the rest of my life. The truth hurts. It's not, preachers are not here to speak sweet, swelling love, unicorns and rainbows.
Amen.
We're supposed to teach the truth, right? And the truth hurts a lot of times. Nobody wants to hear that the church is going to go through hard times. Nobody wants to hear that.
Right.
In fact, if you want to grow a big church, a lot of people coming to it, preach that. Oh, don't worry about it. You just keep on doing what you're doing. God's all love. He's not going to judge you. Oh, don't worry about that. You don't have to stay with the one that you're married to. Just find somebody else. You don't have to obey the word of God. Go ahead, steal that. God will forgive you. Go ahead, kill that person. Speak bad about it. Don't. If you ask God's forgiveness 70 times 7. So you can do that. You can go and beat that baby in the head with a baseball bat 750 times every day, and God's going to forgive you for it. Just keep doing it. Those are dangerous doctrines.
Amen.
Those are dangerous things. God tells us to be holy because He's holy. He tells us to live righteously because the world is looking for that.
Amen. Bless God.
He says that God will send a strong delusion in the late days, latter days. In Thessalonians it says, because they received not the love of the truth, that they might be saved. For this cause God shall send them a strong delusion, that they should believe a lie, that they all might be damned who believed not the truth, but had pleasure in unrighteousness. Do you have pleasure in unrighteousness? Ask yourself that. I watched that thing on TV the other day. Boy, it gave me a lot of pleasure. What were they doing? Well, I was listening to that rock and roll song, man. It brought me a lot of pleasure. What was he singing about? I was listening to that Christian radio station, right? What were they really saying? Were they talking to living unrighteous? Amen. Nothing good.
That helps you.
Yeah, but if you have pleasure in unrighteousness, the Bible says you're going to be damned. Do you think it's a good thing to do things that are ungodly? I don't need to give to that person. They'll probably just spend it on alcohol and drugs anyhow. If God told you to give to that person, doesn't matter if they spend it on alcohol and drugs.
Amen.
Ain't your business. God said, give it. It's what they do with it after that. They got to answer to God.
Yeah.
God told you to do something. God said, feed that person. Love that person. God said, do not forsake the assembly. God said, come together.
Amen.
God said, be of one accord, one unit, one body, one baptism, one Father, one hope.
Amen. Right.
Now, I don't like doing that. Doesn't matter what you like.
Amen.
God didn't say those things to make you happy. He said those things that His joy might be fulfilled in you. It's all about His joy. It's not about your joy.
Right.
See, we have this idea in America that as a Christian, I just get blessed and happy be, happy me. I don't see that in Scripture.
That's right.
God said He didn't come to make you comfortable. He made you to be...
Warrior.
Say that.
Warrior.
A warrior. Amen. To be a soldier. Amen. To have peace and tribulation.
Enjoy.
Amen. All those things. Peace in tribulation, not peace out of tribulation. In the midst of your trials, in the midst of your hurting, that's where you find the fullness of God.
Amen.
And don't have any pleasure in unrighteousness. We could go to Galatians. We could go to Romans chapter 1. I got them all written down here. Listen. If we're going to be able to receive what God's about ready to pour out, we got to get rid of some garbage. You know that you can only contain so much stuff. And if all of your life, all of your heart is filled with things that are anti-Christ, when Christ comes to fill you with a good thing, He won't have any room to put it in. Right? Your storage shed's only so big.
Right.
You know your storage shed can get filled up? What if you fill it up with garbage? You fill it up with things that don't matter. You fill it up with things that don't glorify God. Your life is what I'm talking about. And then when God comes, He says, I want to give you real life. I want to give you real wealth. I want to give you the realness of the unity of Christ. You say, oh God, I can't do that because there's no room left in my storage shed. But if you get rid of some of the garbage now,
amen.
Right? Somebody has time to clean house. Church, if we're really going to receive what God's about ready to pour out, We need to get ourselves ready.
Amen.
All right? So how do you do that?
Absolute surrender.
Amen, sister. You got to quit struggling against God and start working with God. All right? Because the Holy Spirit will guide you. He's going to come into your house and your life, and he's going to say, this is good, this is bad, get rid of bad.
Amen.
Hold on to that which is good. Let all the other things in your life, let them go.
Right.
Yeah, do you really need that? Now, you may have that, and I'm going to just call it that because I don't know what it is in your life. But that extra thing that you have, maybe someone doesn't have that. And you got three of them. Mm-hmm. Maybe it's time to get rid of some of that stuff. And that's physical stuff. Go ahead, brother.
Curtis, can you read Hebrews chapter 12, verse 11?
Yeah. I probably quote it, but I want to make sure that I'm...
11. Hebrews chapter 12, verse 11.
Yeah. Now no chastening for the present seemeth to be joyous, but grievous. Nevertheless, afterward it yieldeth the peaceable fruit of righteousness unto them which are exercised thereby. Yeah. All right. Wherefore lift up holy hands, which hang down, and feeble knees, and make straight the paths of your feet, lest that which is lame be turned out the way, but let it rather be healed. Follow peace with all men, and holiness without which no man shall see the Lord. All right, looking diligently, lest any man fail of the grace of God, lest any root of bitterness spring up and trouble you, and thereby many be defiled. All right? Lest there be any fornicator or profane person as Esau, who for a morsel of meat sold his birthright. All right? Look, praise God for that scripture. Look at what the writer of Hebrews was saying right there. Same thing that we're preaching about today. It's time to get rid of some stuff.
Amen.
All right? God said that we need to, the chastening of the Lord. God telling you to clean stuff up is not comfortable in your life. It's not, it doesn't feel good. But the end of it is righteousness. Right? No chastening seems joyous at the moment. It feels grievous. Nevertheless, afterward, it yields peaceable fruit. Who here wants to have some peaceable fruit? Amen? You got to get rid of the garbage that's stopping that. God will show it to you, but you got to do something with it.
That's something my folks
told me when I was growing up. Clean up your room. I stuffed everything under the bed. No, that's not cleaning up your room. You need to clean up your room. So they come and they flip the bed over, and there's all your garbage. Clean up your room and make up the bed. All right? And so you took it and you hid it in the closet. Right? Stuck your bag back up on it. No, clean your stinking room. And after you did that three or four times, you know what my mom would do? She would take a big old black garbage bag and she would put every stinking thing you got in it. She'd throw it out in the yard. You know what I did after about two or three times of that? Because I'm hard-headed. I started doing what she said. She said, clean the room. Guess what I'd do? If I wanted to keep my stuff, I'd clean the room. God's telling us to get rid of some stuff, and how many times are we moving it from one place to another? How many times are we not really obeying what God says to
you? Right.
How many times has he come into your house, your heart, and kicked over the tables and said, clean it up? And instead of cleaning up, you just move it to another spot and hide it. You think God doesn't know where you're hiding it?
Right.
I lived in a trailer house, man, 11 by 28. A big trailer house, 11 foot by 28 foot, three sisters, myself, mom, and whoever else was there at the time. There was no place to hide your stuff. Amen? It was all exposed. In your heart, God knows everything that's in there. And when he says repent and get it out, that's what he means. And it's not that he doesn't want you to have things. He wants you to have a heart that's able to receive what he's about ready to pour out.
Right.
I really believe that God's about ready to pour out something special.
Amen.
I really do. And whether it be souls, and I think there's going to be a lot of souls coming just before, right? But he needs a people group, a church, that's able to receive that.
Amen.
That's able to take the garbage out of our life and put the truth of God in our life.
Amen.
That we can give that away in such a manner that he can be glorified in it. Meeting people in the middle of their mess and loving them through it.
Yes.
Are we going to be that church? And I'm not talking about this group of believers. I mean, in your heart, individually, are you that church?
Amen. God help us.
We need God's help. We need an obedience to the Spirit of God. We need an obedience to the Word of God. When God says, get rid of it, and I don't know what it is to you. I know what it is to me. And I've told about this over the last couple weeks. YouTube. YouTube has been an anchor around my neck for a long time. And about 2 or 3 weeks ago, God told me to get rid of it. And guess what I did? First, I hid it. Okay? I made the app invisible on my little thingy there, right? I made it invisible, but I could bring it back up anytime I wanted. God said, no, get rid of it. If you want to have communication with me, Curtis, this thing has got to die. So I killed it. And God gave me one message. I've been preaching for a month now. See, when you get rid of the stuff you don't need, God can fill you with the stuff you do need.
That's right. Amen.
And if we're going to receive what God's going to pour out in these last days, we all got garbage in our life we need to get rid of.
Amen, right?
And I'm not saying that all technology is evil, but all technology is evil. You know? Really and truly, don't get me wrong, I do like going to the gas station, put my debit card in without having to go inside. Especially since you got to wear a mask inside everywhere you go. But, you know, it's I don't like the way things are. I used to like going into the Zippy Marts. You know, I could talk to people, you know, and meet them, smile at them. You go into the Zippy Mart or any place now, I can't even see you smile or frown. I can't read your face expressions anymore. I don't think that's good. Man, I've talked for a long time. Have you heard what the Spirit of God's saying to you? Or have I just been like a clinging brass up here? Have you listened? Has God spoke to your heart about any one thing in your life that you need to deal with? I believe the Holy Spirit is working in a lot of people right now.
Amen.
And I know this deep inside that God is about ready to pour out something on the church that I don't think we're prepared for. And I'm not talking about the bad things. I'm talking about the good things. God has every good and perfect gift comes from the
Amen.
Father of lights.
Right.
And he's got a lot of good and perfect gifts to give us. But unfortunately, we got too much garbage to receive it. So are you prepared today to make the adjustment in your life that the Holy Spirit has already talked to you about?
Amen.
And I believe God, he's already talked to you about it. I don't need to say no more, so why am I talking?
Prepare for some trials.
Amen.
That's the only way.
You got to.
Learn anything. Ask for faith, you're going to get a lot of trials.
Amen. 1 Peter 3 and 14, I'm going to close with this, 14 and 15. If you suffer for righteousness' sake, happy you are. Be not afraid of their terror, neither be troubled, but sanctify the Lord your God in your heart, and be ready always to give an answer to every man that asks of you a reason for the hope that is in you with meekness and fear. Did you hear what Peter's saying right there, 3, 14, and 15? Suffer for righteousness' sake.
Right.
If you're going to suffer, suffer for doing good. If the world's going to laugh at you, let them laugh at you because you stand with Jesus Christ.
Right.
If they're going to persecute you, let them persecute you for loving people, for telling them the truth, for telling them that there's only two genders. That's loving truth.
Amen.
All right? That is God's truth. There's only two.
And what you were born with, that's what you are.
That's right.
Regardless of what you feel. Mm-hmm. When you, that is loving truth. So many people are so confused because they don't know truth. Mm-hmm. Now, you'll be persecuted because you're standing in righteousness. Mm-hmm. But that's okay. I would much rather be hated by the world and loved by God than hated by God and loved by the world. Those are the choices we're going to have to make.
Right.
And it's really hard. Sanctify, set apart the Lord your God in your heart. Be ready. What's it mean to be ready? Well, if you're expecting something to happen, get prepared for it. If you really expect Jesus Christ to come back, be prepared for it. If you really expect the pouring out of the Holy Spirit, be prepared for it.
Amen.
And all I've been saying for the last month, this same sermon, and this will be the last I talk about it unless the Lord makes me do it again. The only thing we got to do is get rid of us.
That's right.
Right? Get rid of your heart's desire. Get rid of your lust.
Yes.
Get rid of your pride of life. Get rid of your lust of your eye.
Yep.
And seek the Lord. Sanctify Him in your heart.
Amen.
And guess what? All these things will be added to you. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness. And all these other things He's going to take care of. Food, clothing, shelter. He's got it in abundance for you. He's got love in abundance for you. He's got everything you need in abundance for you.
Lesson.
The only thing that's stopping you from receiving it is you. It's your lust, your desire, your unrighteousness over top of the righteousness of God. And if you'll just kill it,
amen.
If you'll kill it, God will bless you for that.
Yes.
Anyhow, let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, I thank you so much for your word. I thank you, Father, for the way that you allow this body to grow, to learn, Father. I pray, Lord, that you have spoken to your people today. I pray, Father, that your spirit has already convicted men of sin that they need to get rid of. I pray, Father, that you've already convicted men of righteousness that they need to hold on to. I pray, Father, that you are bringing us together in the unity of the Spirit, Father, for the last days.
Amen.
And Lord, we thank you. We praise you for those things. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.